You are listening to Sunday morning service at Unity of Tustin. Unity of Tustin is a mystical, spiritual community radiating light and love, transforming consciousness. Our mission is healing lives, building dreams, and realizing God. Now, Senior Minister, Reverend Carolyn Mathlin.
Good morning, and welcome to Unity of Tustin on this Memorial Day weekend. As we begin our service this morning, I invite you to join me in a moment of prayer. So I invite you to close your eyes and take a deep breath in and release it. And we close our eyes as an outer expression of an inward commitment to connect with and live from that source of being that is in and through and as each of us, the divine that breathes us, that is in the very air that brings nutrients to our blood, that comes from the cosmos. And so we sense into the expansiveness of what is present right here, right now. That living, loving, Christed consciousness that Jesus said, where two or more are gathered, there I am in the midst. And so we lean into that power and that presence as we open to the love and to this capacity to be willing to let go, to let God in all of the areas of our life. And so it is. Amen. So do you really know how to surrender? I'm going to tell you the short answer, at least from my perspective, is no. You don't really know how to surrender. And you probably never will. And that's okay. So now we're going to go into the long answer of why I say that. So I like to, as much as I can and as possible, share from my own personal life. And so as I was sitting with this really tender and vulnerable topic of surrender, I mean, when we're asked to surrender something, it's not because it's all love, joy, and light, right? When we're asked, when we're like, I can't do it anymore, it's in those dark moments of despair and pain and just like feeling like you're on the cross, right? So there's a real tenderness around that because there's such a call to release something, to let go of something. That typically, if we're at that point, we have not wanted to release it yet. Pushed by a vision, or pulled by a vision, or pushed by pain. So we're, you know, those things, those karmic or those psychic aspects of ourselves that we are not willing to let go of. Because though that's what we identify with as us. And at some point on the spiritual path, everything that we identify as us alone, that is from the personality level, will need to be to come into a different relationship. We will, can no longer identify that as me alone. So a lot of times that shows up in experiences of baptism. And I love how Luke, at the beginning of Luke chapter 3, talks about, he's being asked, you know, are you the Messiah? And he says, no, there comes someone after me who is mightier than I. I baptize you in water. He shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And then he goes on to talk about that this Christed consciousness will use his winnowing fork or rod and remove the chaff, remove the part of the wheat that is no longer needed in service to getting the nutrients out of the wheat. So the husk goes away and you keep what's good. And there's this whole description of this releasing of what needs to be released. That is baptism. That's the baptismal energy. And I particularly have felt it when I first became a staff member here. So I had always been called to be a part of Unity of Tustin. You know, my parents both served on the board at different times. I was raised in this community. I went away to school in Boston. I came back because I wanted to be close to my community. I didn't even look for jobs in the East Coast. I knew I wanted to be here. There was always this call. I have and I haven't questioned it, because it's not the easiest profession, and it certainly, there's no, you know, tenure or anything that you get. So there's a lot of reasons why one rationally would question, is this really what you want to get into? But there has always been a call. And fortunately, I was raised to not question the call. If there really is a call, to not question it. So I entered, the two positions opened up in June of 2002, and so the bookkeeper and the family ministry director, you know, and in my world, those two can go together. So I said yes, and came to work full-time here at Unity of Tustin, following this call. Not even, I mean, there had been a call to ministry, but there had also just been this call to be here, to physically be here. And what I recognize is that my soul made a commitment to be completely thrown into and immersed in the baptismal fire and the Holy Spirit. I was called, and there was a lot of things that started to come up for me. I left crying here at least two nights a week. Sometimes for no discernible reason, I just would start crying on the way home. And, you know, what are you going to do except cry? So this happened consistently. And I remember Marge saying, when tears come, they're holy tears. They're baptismal tears. So let them come. So I would let them come. I also had some ideas of why I was crying. And they were all about other people. I have journals documenting how they're about other people. You know you've got an issue when it's a two journal or more thing you keep revisiting over and over again. I know I'm not the only one, but I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands. So, all right, got one. Oh my heavens! So there's this invitation to step into, and this happens in relationships with lovers, with children, with parents, siblings. This can happen in jobs. Something where there is this call. This deep soul connection, and simultaneously something is working you. And I felt worked. But again, in the beginning, and we're gonna go to a journal entry, it was not about me. So I will do the caveat that remind you, this is not about anyone else except for me. So the names that I reference are placeholders. They were divine beings that were reflecting to me something that I needed to look at. And as you will hear, I had no interest nor intention of looking at it. And if you are familiar with the Enneagram, I'm sure you'll be able to pick up my type. I feel the vastness of spirit, and I know that all will get done in the perfect time. This is July 2002, so I had been crying for a couple months now. At a more human level, I feel like I need to take on more projects to prove my self-worth, to show how wonderful I am. I see Judy and Glenda getting all the praise for their work, and I see that as what I want for myself. I want things to happen quickly so I can show everyone how great I am. I know I can do things well and am capable of many things, yet I still feel I need to prove myself more. I am loved and praised often, yet still do more in order to be loved and praised. It's almost as if I'm addicted. Little truth telling there. Is there anything about anyone else in here? Or is there anything about me in here? It is all about the other people. Oh my gosh. I look back at this and truly laugh. It's hard to believe that I wrote that, but I did 14 years ago. That is part of my baptism. In moments like this, there is no conscience. Do we really know how to surrender? There is not even an idea that that should be a part of the conversation. Because it is all 100% about them, with nothing to do with me. I have nothing to let go of because it is not my fault. So there's no capacity to let go of anything. I am carrying the weight of the world. I'm carrying this attachment to needing to feel praised and valued and loved. And I'm spinning my wheels and chasing this unattainable, really, made up goal. I could have gotten all the praise in the world. Would that have filled it? No, because it's not about that. It was never about that. There was something else that was being asked to be surrendered, but I was in no place to acknowledge it or to start to look for what that could be. The intention for starting to do our spiritual work when it comes to surrender is to start to pay attention to when you slip into these places. So you can start to catch yourself when you become the victim. And go, wait a minute, is that really true? Last week we were working with psychosynthesis with Dr. Nicholas, John, and Debbie. And they talked about the will a lot. And Dr. Asset Jolie, who worked with the will a lot. And it was very similar to what Charles Fillmore spoke of when he talked about the will as one of the 12 powers. So Roberto Asset Jolie says, will is the inner force which is available to guide each individual towards self-reflection and to actualize the potential of all humanity. It's a really powerful statement. Will does that. So our will, and as Charles Fillmore says, our will is the executive power of the mind. It's the capacity to direct where we look and what we do. So desire on its own will not produce results. Desire and will produce results. And that can be for both positive and negative, or not so positive, right? Depending on where your orientation is. So In journal entry number one from 2002, there was no understanding of my will in any of this, how I was directing my energy, what I was seeing, where I was seeing it. I was completely the victim and crying in pain the whole way through it. A year later, last year, Reverend Karen Epps, who is a member of our community and here during this time, she spoke last year about her experience of this time frame, and she, in her talk about the purple pen and the gods must be crazy, same time period. It was a rich time period. So by then, by 2003, she had left. She had gone off to ministerial school. So we were on the special services team that created and put on special services. So as Karen said, we were the B team. We got the other services. So now that she left, the A team was stuck with me. So I was given the task of finding a writing or a poem for the Ash Wednesday service. And I don't know what happened. It's not documented in my journals. But somehow or other, I was pissed or hurt or a combination of all of it. Because I turned to my journal in March 5 of 2003, and there's something that's beginning to glimmer. Now, I've been crying for over a year now. And some, you know, at this point, something's got to give, right? And so I think, okay, I'm going to sit and just start writing. Something creative, something needs to be released. Something needs to be let out. Something needs to be seen. So my entry begins: Holy, divine, beloved spirit, hold me in your essence, the essence that is of oneness. I know Judy and Glenda are part of me. They are equal and the same. I stand as witness. My motives or perceived ego are just that, perceived. I know in my core that all is unfolding to heal what needs to be healed. My heart hurts occasionally when I remember my aloneness. Okay, so now we're beginning to see something, right? Mm-hmm. There's a capacity to understand what's happening. I feel so empty sometimes, and then I feel so full other times. I feel no one understands me. I'm continually judged for one thing or another. Okay, so now we're slipping back in. Maybe that's the gift. I don't need to do anything but be here for God. Which is a change in pace from the previous entry a year ago, right? When it was all about me doing something in order to be seen and validated. As I experience hurt or pain, I feel it, witness it, and move with it as spirit leads. I am in my perfect place. Once I have accepted God, there will be no stone unturned. My path will be made straight, living only for the one purpose my heart should fulfill, which is some of Course in Miracles. I move into that knowing with every breath of my being. I enter that love and walk through the sacred fire naked. Burn me that so I may be purified of all that is not God. Lick the wounds of insecurities and doubts until they are healed and transformed. Throw me, immerse me in the sacred fire of daily life, where I see past illusion to the flame. Burn me, I feel the burning in my heart. It aches with the pain of disillusion. Burn my ego, rendering it the servant of God. I see all as holy, divine, beloved. Nothing is sacred in the fire. Some are emissaries of the fire. They bring chaos, change, and new ideas. They catapult the stuck into unstuckness. Do not kill the messengers, for they are the fire's angels. They burn, they stoke, they burn. Being clear in intention, they see not the illusory pain caused. They look past to the eternal flame ever burning. Thank you, flame. Thank you, fire. Thank you, God. That's profound, right? I felt truly a fundamental shift in that. And I took a part of that last part, and that was my poem for Ash Wednesday that I shared from that experience, that real fundamental shift. Did I know how to do that? Did I really know how to surrender? No, I simply was in enough pain that I thought there has to be another way. And I let it come. I stopped fighting, holding on to my story. So do you really know how to surrender? It's like asking, do you really know how to fall asleep? You can get ready to fall asleep. You can get ready to surrender. You can do your work. You can do your shadow work. You can go to psychosynthesis. You can see a therapist. You can attend classes. You can read spiritual material. You can surround yourselves in environments. It's this equivalent of brushing your teeth and washing your face and getting your pajamas on and then getting into your bed and perhaps saying some evening prayers or watching some TV to unwind or read a book. You know you're getting yourself ready to sleep. But ultimately, it's in that final just that is really not about you doing anything. But you need to get ready, and that's where the will comes in. You need to direct, at least for me, directing my will, that executive faculty and power of the mind, to see a higher truth, to stop fixating on one small aspect of the story and start to see a greater context. It's equivalent to, you know, if you have a baby and they have two things in your hand and you want one of them that's in their hand, what do? Give them something else to hold, right? They'll gladly abandon whatever they have in the name of something new. And that way they don't cry. It's very skillful. Our mind is a lot like that. There's always going to be something floating through. It's helpful when it's something that's a little more expansive. Because the other thing about, you know, from journal entry number one from 2002, is that when you're in that state of consciousness, that much pain, you start to orient your whole world around being in pain. Every conversation, every interaction, every story I heard was filtered through, are they doing that to exclude me? Are they doing that to blah, blah, blah? So we get really juiced by this pain, as Eckhart Tolle says, the pain body. Some of us have a very active pain body. Some of us don't. But whatever, you know, it starts to really keep us going in that. starts to loosen because we're willing to be loosened. We're willing to step into that sacred baptism and fire. I would love to tell you that's the end of the journey. Go back to this journal. Another year later, I just had an awareness about one of the reasons I seem to get upset occasionally at church. I think because I feel like I am doing so many jobs that I can't make any of them flourish and be outstanding. My mind ego has built up this thought that if I have more time to devote to one of my jobs, that I will be outstanding. No one can live without me. And I will have to be noticed and taken seriously by Marge. What the heck happened? It's at this point in my entry that I go, good Lord, let it go. We do that though, don't we? I mean, gosh, we keep just circling right back around. Let's see, have I given any energy to this story in a while? No longer would I be pushed aside as a future possibility, but as a present reality, a minister, a senior minister, who is as capable as Glenda and Judy. gotta love ourselves, right? I mean, heavens, we create a lot of pain. I suppose that if there is all this feeling about this, there must be some doubt or some hidden fear, you think? So, it's a process. Do we really know how to surrender? We keep getting ready for bed. We keep getting ready to surrender. We keep showing up in whatever place and in whatever way we are particularly feeling that baptismal energy. And keep saying yes. Because that's the only way that it's really going to be let go. We're really going to let go. And, you know, and I can look back and completely laugh at this because it's just not true anymore. I have no interest in most of any of that. You know, I went through the work first. Now I'm on to other things. That's kind of how it works. There's no cessation of things to let go and surrender to. Funny how that works. Because it's that continual baptism, that continual willingness to just say yes. To just say yes. So why don't you take a minute and close your eyes and just call in what's something, just pick one thing that's really feeling alive for you that feels like it's your baptism right now. Take a deep breath. And sense into, ask, what is something I need to see, or I'm being asked to see, or be, or know? How am I being asked to hold this differently? I invite you in the center of your heart to make a commitment to that, to listening, to continuing to listen to that still small voice that is guiding you through the baptism. When you're ready, I invite you to open your eyes.
Unity of Tustin is supported through your generous tithes and love offerings. To support Unity of Tustin online, please click the Donate button on our homepage. Thank you for listening.